This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, this is BFM 89.9. I'm Chuang, joined by Xiao Ning. Now, Sabah is very much in focus because the stage is set after nominations for the state election wrapped up on the weekend. 13 new seats added to the fold, 447 hopefuls, 16 parties and a slew of independent candidates vying for just 73 state seats.
Yeah, you can barely keep up with all the news. But some key takeaways that we've gathered from last Saturday's nominations include, one, that the already shaky alliance of Gagasan Rakyat Sabah, consisting of PN, BN and PBS, collectively they are vying for 92 seats and will clash with one another in 17 seats. Two, Warisan Plus is gunning for 66 seats. They have zero internal clashes and they have already determined that Dato' Sri Shafiq Abdal will be their chief minister if they win. And three, the multi-cornered fights taking place in most of the 73 seats. In fact, in one of the seats, they will be in an 11-way contest.
Yeah, but of course, in an interesting move, Dato' Sri Anifa Aman's party Cinta Sabah will contest all 73 state seats. So just as well, on the line, we've got with us Dr. Bridget Welsh, Honorary Research Associate at the University of Nottingham Asia Research Institute, to help us unpack the developments. Thank you for joining us this morning, Dr. Welsh. Now, Prime Minister Dr. Tan Sri Muhyiddin has announced that Gabungan Rakyat Sabah coalition the day before nominations in an attempt to show a united front. However, this wasn't enough to prevent the multi-cornered fights, including GRS parties. Does this show the limitations of Muhyiddin's influence in Sabah?
Yes, good morning from Kota Kinabalu. I would say that what we're seeing is a very exciting contest, and of course, Muhyiddin's factor is very important. Going through the candidates and all the new candidates that have come in, especially some very interesting independents, 80% of the seats in the contest are competitive, of which 30% are extremely competitive, but almost too close to call in terms of the process. Now, Muhyiddin has played a very important role in contributing to this competitiveness because he was unable to sustain his alliance in terms of 17 seats are actually clashing against each other officially, and a number of independents are also part of the clash. What we see are three parties he's had problems managing. One, of course, is PBS, they've moved their number of seats officially to 22. And as well, and we see also UMNO. UMNO also increased. Originally, its seats were, they were willing to compromise, and they were moved down to 28 and others. And they've now contested almost 32, adding a seat like Malala. And we've also seen STAR, which is Jeffrey Kittingan's party, also respond by sort of clearing some of their independence, responding to PBS, also clashing against them. So what we're seeing is these local parties, except for UMNO, of course, basically trying to set their ambitions and very emotional vis-a-vis each other. And I think, for example, PBS has felt that it was being displaced in its role. They've traditionally long harp back to issues of representing the KDM community. And as a consequence, they decided that they would go for more. And in a sense, it's helped to redefine their campaign, is that they're seen as sort of trying to challenge UMNO. And of course, UMNO in the contests have also been very seen as wanting to strengthen its position, hold on, to revitalize itself. And so it's contesting in a lot of more seats. So it's a very exciting contest in what's happened. But it reflects very poorly on Muhyiddin in terms of being able to manage his coalition.
And interestingly, Tan Sri Musa Aman is excluded from this state elections. It raised many eyebrows. Is he really sitting this one out, or can we expect a surprise move on his part later on? And what happened there, actually?
Well, he was clearly pushed out by UMNO, and then he was not accommodated by Bersatu. But to say that Musa Aman is not a factor in this election would be a misnomer. So first of all, there are four members of his family running. Anifa, of course, is the former foreign minister, is running in Bogawan. His nephew is running in Liawan. His son-in-law is running in Mambakot. His daughter, by marriage, is running in Kawang. So what we're seeing is is a situation where his family and the role that Musa will play in terms of money is very important in these contests. And I would also say that the financial role that he plays to supporting certain candidates, given that many of these contests involve financial support, is crucial. But Musa's factor will also be important in Liburan area, in the seats that he's traditionally had a lot of influence over, Sungai Manila, Sungai Sibuga, and here is where the sabotage factor within UMNO could be very important in influencing the outcome of this very close and very competitive contest. And so his role in the election is still very important. Him as a persona, he can come back in ways that through using his influence and also through potentially being appointed, which the winner can do, or he can play another role in this process. So he's not officially contesting, but he's definitely in the race.
So last week, when we spoke with Dr. Hamidin, he had his eye on Dato Sri Anifa Aman's PCS party, which is contesting 72 of the 73 seats, and how that might be likely to disrupt some PN and BN votes. Do you think PS is able to sway voters and create enough trouble for the other parties?
So one of the things that's happened in increasing the competitiveness in this contest is the sheer number of people that are contesting, as you mentioned earlier. And it's because of the role of social networks at the local level and family that each candidate can take away a few hundred votes. And in the contest that's very competitive, these things really do matter. And so Parti Cinta Malaysia is largely comprised of traditional elites. It's many, and this is true of a lot of the parties, but I think especially of PCS. There are only really, I think, three seats that are extremely competitive in. One is, of course, Anifa's seat in Bengawan. Then we also see someone like Dennis Gimpa in Tampuruli, and a very important somebody like Iwan Ibn in Kundasang, who was the former Paginatan Assemblyman. He's been a Ranau MP before. These people become factors. But the party as a whole, I think, has a challenge, but it can play a very important spoiler role in that it can capture a few hundred votes, which can make a big difference in the outcome. And of course, this is part of what is seen as part of the strategy. But it is possible that Anifa will and PCS will win some seats? Yes, because of the competitiveness of them. But it will be resting heavily on local candidate factors. And of course, it depends on how the campaign also evolves. If it moves away from being a localized election to more of a statewide leadership election, which is the way that Warisan is trying to frame the campaign. But at this particular juncture, PCS is a factor, but not as much of a factor as it looks in terms of the number of seats that it's contesting.
And Bridget, is it too much to ask, or maybe too early to ask, who do you think will win this Sabah elections?
I think it's too early to ask because of the competitiveness that I spoke about earlier. I think that the campaign matters. I think the other thing to keep in mind that there is a traditional, what I call a Sabah swing. You know, Sabahans move. They have a history of moving in their political behavior. And we saw in 2018 that the electorate was quite polarized, 47% for Warisan Plus parties, 44% for BN. And some of those don't move. So therefore, that means that this makes this a competitive process. Equally important is the role that money will play in this election. So I think that anybody who thinks they can call the election based on the kind of larger narrative, I think it's still early days yet because the campaign do matter. And certain electorates are important. One of those, for example, is the young voters. 40%, 45% of those are under the age of 40. A little bit less of those numbers are involved in the age of 30. But what we're seeing is that they bring in a new politics. They bring in the potential of swinging, and they also affect turnout levels, which makes this election extremely interesting to watch.
Yeah, Dr. Welsh, very quickly, there's been an inordinate amount of attention on the Sabah state elections. What do you think this means for the rest of the country in terms of it being a possible litmus test for the upcoming national polls?
Well, first of all, I think it is important to put attention to Sabah because Sabah has gotten so little attention in terms of the issues that the Sabahans face. 20% of Sabahans are in poverty based on government statistics. And so I think it's putting attention to what's happening here and the issues of infrastructure and development are a positive thing. But turning to the question of the national picture, this, of course, will affect the leadership at the national level, particularly whether or not Shafi will play a role in that, but also Muhyiddin in terms of his litmus test. It will also affect the party's performance, Bersatu, vis-a-vis UMNO and the coalition within Muwafaqat Nasional as well as PN. And I think, third, it will affect the kind of momentum that different parties have in terms of the timing of the national election.
Okay, thank you so much for your time. That was Dr. Bridget Welsh of the University of Nottingham Asia Research Institute. And I think what she says is very interesting in terms of Sabah being a proxy to Malaysia's under disenfranchised and I guess poverty line stricken, and also because of how Sabah might shape up for the new coalitions in the political landscape.
Yeah, but her point is that it's probably still too early to tell who might win. Sabahans move to their own tune and they might change their mind. And it's also still very polarized at this current juncture. But some new interesting faces are emerging. And I think what's really important is this is something Malaysia, 40% of their voters are below 40, just like us in Peninsula.
Of course. Okay, it is 56 minutes past 7. And of course, after this special tune by Mercedes-Benz, stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.